kind of song, I say, sweep around your home. Front door. Some people want to tell you all about your problems, and they got all kind of beef in there. Am I talking to somebody there? They can come tell you about your problem, but they ain't going to tell you about that.
All right.
That you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. Good morning. On behalf of our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson, we welcome you to the Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ Saturday morning broadcast on KAYT. We pray that as a community announcement, the Johnson Temple Feeding the Hungry program will recommence on Wednesday, February the 11th, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. In addition to providing a hot meal, perishable and non-perishable food items are available for individuals in need. The public is invited and volunteers are welcome. For more information, please call the church at 337-239-3845. In today's broadcast, you will hear a selection from Brother Corey and Sister Michelle Dotson. You will also hear an uplifting message entitled, "The Real Meaning of Christmas, God's Love Revealed," from Elder Michael Thomas. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
Hallelujah! Way back on Calvary, where he died and rose again, sing a song from my sin. I got the joy of the Lord. Sometimes I feel the least of all, but I know someone who has everything. He is my everything, and just to know that I'm his child.
All right.
His name is Jesus, the righteous Son of God. He is the lily of the valley, my brother. He's my provider,
right.
Jehovah.
My sermon is going to come from John chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. If you got it, say amen. If you don't, say hold on. Okay, I didn't hear any hold on, so I'm going to go ahead and go. And verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You may be seated. My topic today, the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas. And my subtopic will be God's love revealed. God's love revealed. On one of the most beautiful aspects of Christmas is the humility of Jesus' birth. Born in a manger, he came not as a conquering king, but as a servant. If you guys was privy enough to be in Sunday school, Elder Owens taught a very, very beautiful and informative lesson this morning. And basically, he taught my sermon. He was all over my sermon. Everybody was all over the sermon. So basically, what I'm going to give you is a summary of what we learned in Sunday school, because there's nothing that I'm probably going to say that you haven't heard this morning. So guys, you got to make it out to Sunday school. That was powerful, powerful, powerful. Powerful lesson. Christmas is the celebration of the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. At the heart of the Christmas story is a profound truth of God's love and humanity. God truly loved man. John 3 and 16 declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." How many of you would do that? That whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. this is a true act of love. It was not out of obligation, but out of God's deep desire to reconcile us back to Him. Saints, God was fixing what we messed up. Christmas is a reminder that love took on flesh and entered our broken world to bring hope, peace, and salvation, along with joy. The story of Christmas began with God reaching out to ordinary people, people like Sister Taylor, Brother Taylor, Elder Owens, Sister Owens, Pastor and Mother Judy, ordinary people, people like the Williamses, ordinary people. These individuals weren't extraordinary by the world's standard. Neither are we. We are normal, but yet they were chosen to be part of God's incredible plan. How many of you know that we are chosen to be part of God's plan? This demonstrates that God's love is inclusive, reaching every person regardless of status or background. Now, some of you understand the word status. You know, it was spoken this morning about how it was spoken this morning about how people will dismiss you. If you wasn't born and lived in a certain neighborhood, people would not talk to you. If you didn't make a certain amount of money, you was considered a low life. God's love is inclusive because He looked past all of that, reaching every person regardless of status or background.
Yes.
Mary's song in Luke 1 verses 46 to 55 celebrates God's mercy and His power, showing us that His love uplifts the humble and fulfills His promises.
Yes.
How many of you know that God promises will be fulfilled?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the most beautiful aspects of Christmas is the humility of Jesus' birth. Now, think about this now. Think about it. Born in a manger. Keep in mind that Jesus was our King. He was born. He was laid in a horse trough. This is where horses drink and eat from. So does cattle and sheep and whatever is tall enough to drink or eat out of this thing. This is where they put our King, our God, our Savior, our Lord. This is where animals drank and ate from. So we got to look at that as to say that God could have came any way He wanted to, but He chose to come this way. He came not as a conquering king, but He was a king. But He chose to come as a servant. I asked the question, how many of you, if you had the power to decide how you would come into this world, how many of you would come into this world as a servant? Now, be honest with yourself, because some of us will come in as multi-billionaires. Some of you will want to come in as multi-millionaires. Some of you want to come in as that top 1% of the people that's living on this planet. And some of you will want to come in as the leader of a country or a nation. But God, Jesus, decided to come in as a servant. And the reason he wanted to come in as a servant is because he wanted to reach everybody. He wanted everyone to know that he was their God. Now see, Jesus is my God, just like he is your God. Jesus is my God, just like he is any king, queen, president, leader of a country. He is their God, just like he is my God. He don't look at them any different than he looks at me. The same thing that he requires of me are the same things that he requires from any one of these individuals. Philippians 2:7 remind us that Jesus made himself nothing. That was his choice, taking the very nature of a servant, being made human likeness. He chose to come in the way he came in. He chose to be who he was. He chose to go through what he went through. And the reason he did that is because he loved us. He loved us. He chose to come in the way he did. Some of us, if we had to choose to come in, we'll come in as a white person, because we truly believe white people is more prominent than any other race on the planet. Some of us would choose to come in as a black person, because we are the beginning of man. It came from us. Some of us would choose to come in as a Chinese person or Indian person. Some would choose to come in as a tall person. You know, they want to be 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". Some would choose to be short, because they feel as though if they're 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", when they get older, their knees go to hurt. Their feet hurt. Their legs and their arms are so long that the joints starts to hurt really, really, really bad. I'm sure you would fix it so that you had the best of the best. But God chose to be a servant because he loves us, saint.
Oh, yeah.
This humility reveals the character of God, a king who steps into our midst. How many of you would step into somebody else's midst?
Oh,
Jesus chose to walk alongside us and show us the way to him. Christmas, he called us to him to reflect his humility and love in how we live and treat others. Saints, you got people out there that preach against Christmas. They say that it's a pagan holiday. But I tell you that Christmas to me is every day. God gives me a gift every day. Every day that I feel the pain in my body, it's a gift from God, because I could be dead and gone. Every day that I open my eyes is a gift from God. Every breath that I take is a gift from God. Everything about my life is a gift from God. Now, I know sometimes we go through some things and some things happen to us. But the Bible tells us that all things work for the good of God. So we have to trust him and believe that every gift that we have come from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Christmas calls us to reflect this humility and the love in how we live and treat others. You know, sometimes you buy gifts for people and you give it to them and you tell them you love them. Well, that's what God told us to do. We have to love our neighbors. We have to treat them in a special way. Christmas is also a story of light overcoming darkness. Somebody should be running and shouting all over the church right about now, thinking about the gifts that God has given them, thinking about the light that has come into this world to overcome the darkness in this world.
Yes.
Saint, let your light shine. When Jesus was born, the angel proclaimed to the shepherds, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Now, he's not talking about the rich people. He's not talking about the ones that got the big houses and the nice cars. He's not talking about the prettiest people on the planet. He's talking about all the people. Luke 2 and 10, Jesus is the light of the world, illuminating the path to hope and salvation, even in the darkest moment of our lives. And saints, we have had some dark moments in our lives. I can remember laying in the hospital bed with my chest open and wired together. I could remember asking my wife, why are so many people in my hospital room? And my wife looked at me and she told me, "Michael, there's nobody here but me." And I started to describe the people that's standing around my bed, that's moving around in the room. I started to describe them to her, but she couldn't see them. Saints, that was a dark moment for me, because I didn't understand what was going on. But one thing I do know, I wasn't scared. I didn't have any fear. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that I was not in that place by myself. Jesus was there with me. And not that the people was trying to harm me, they was just there. It was almost like they just wanted to come and look at me. They just wanted to come and see me. That was a dark moment, because I was not sure as to what was going to happen. When I came to my right mind, I even asked my wife, "Did I die?" And she told me, "No, you didn't die." But I tell you, I was somewhere else. And I tell you that Jesus was there with me.
Yes, yes.
Even in our darkest moment,
yes,
of our life.
Yes.
And I'm still there. You just have to believe and trust that Jesus is always, always with you.